Good morning, everyone.
All right.
Merry Christmas Eve. How we doing? Great. Good. All right. Hey, good to be here with you this morning on this day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Well, I am so grateful to be here with you all this morning in person. Those of us that are joining by way of Zoom, we want to welcome you, welcome all of our visitors. Frederick Church of Christ Christmas Eve service this morning. I'm going to make just a couple quick announcements, but this morning, if you have your Bible, we're going to be reading out of the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And as you're flipping there, I just want to say, if you're visiting here, and just by way of, describing how we tend to function here, I hope that what you find here, if you haven't already, is a church family. I hope that what you find here is brothers and sisters committed to unity and maturity, relating to one another through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to cultivate a church family. And there's no greater time to do that than to come upon us and within us at the Christmas season. I just want to say from the onset that I know the Christmas season can bring all sorts of different emotions and feelings, and some good, some great, some really challenging ones for all of us. And what I want to say just from the very onset is that this is primarily why we root our hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because no matter where you find yourself postured in life this morning, whether you're, going through the Christmas season and you're kind of putting on a face because you think you got to feel good or be joyful, everything's got to be perfect, or whether you're just in a moment where you're just really joyful and things are on the up and up in your life, or you lie anywhere in between. For each one of us, we have unity in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is our true light. He is our true hope. He is the foundation and the rock upon which we build our lives, and that's what we celebrate here this morning above anything else. Now, if you got me a present, I'm not going to reject it. Okay. Just going to tell you. That's hearsay. Who said vegan mac and cheese? Those words cancel each other out. You can't even have mac and cheese. Never, we're not going to get into this right now from the pulpit. Okay. But amen. We stand here united. We stand here in this season only by the blood of Jesus Christ. Only by his incarnation that God wrapped himself in flesh and came and dwelt among his people and paid a penalty for us that we would never be able to pay, so that we can be substituted in his place, so that when the Father sees us, he sees the cross. Amen. Just a couple announcements this morning. I'm not going to highlight a lot of things. What I do want you to know is later this evening at 6 p.m., we're going to have a service dedicated to the Christmas season. It's our worship and praise service. So it's primarily going to be singing Christmas songs and doing scripture reading and fellowship. Heard there might be some treats. I don't know. But 6 p.m. tonight, if you can, if you want, it's a great opportunity to bring your family back, bring friends or other extended family that you may have in town and worship together as a family. Secondly, next Sunday is New Year's Eve, and we're having our New Year's Eve fellowship and game night. In lieu of our 6 p.m. devotional, we'll meet at the fellowship hall next week. If you want to come, come around 8 or so, bring a game, bring a snack. It's a good way to release some of those extra desserts that you may have lingering from the Christmas season. And bring your favorite treat and favorite game, and we're going to fellowship and bring in the new year. And this year, I think what we're going to do before we get going in some games is, say a prayer together, sing a couple songs together, and enjoy unity in the Lord as we bring in the new year. Amen. All right. So this morning, as we come into our time of worship and scripture reading, I want to read from you. For you from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Just sort of as a preface, I know often in the Christmas season, we have passages of scripture reading of Jesus's birth of Mary, the Virgin Mary, in Matthew and Luke. And There is so much to learn in those passages. You know, there's so much practical Christian living and examples, and the beauty of the incarnation that takes place within those verses of scripture are amazing. And the reason I chose to read from the Gospel of John this morning is because what I love most about the Gospel of John is right from the get-go. He no holds bar. He gets right into who Jesus is, that he is God, that he is divinity, that he is the Word, he is the way, he is, in fact, the light and the way in which we have life for those that would receive him. And so we're going to read the first 18 verses of John chapter 1. Will you follow along with me? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that had been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Amen. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much on this day, Lord, where we recognize the season where we celebrate, as we should every day, Lord, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to take a moment and just thank you as we stand in awe of what you've done for us. Lord, your grace, your truth, your light, your eternal life, all given to us by the nail-scarred hands of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of his life, the passion of his death, and the eternal life promised to us through his resurrection. Lord, as we go on in our worship service, Father, I pray that we decrease and allow you to increase. Father, allow your name to be lifted high at this time. Speak to our hearts. Allow our worship to be pleasing to you, Father, and bring us closer to you this morning. Allow us to be different, to be transformed as we leave here, different than when we came in. Lord, we need you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.
Morning, church family. It's one of the best things in life is to get to know Christ. You know, I mean, I've proclaimed many times up here how I used to chase money, men, and material things. It always brought me happiness for just a second. It's always passing, but the Lord always. Ever since I fully surrendered and made him Lord and Savior, not just Savior. How easy it is to make Jesus Christ just our Savior and not the Lord of our life. Then I felt the joy of the Lord. Then I had communion with the Lord. And this is the time, as you can see behind me, this is the time we do something in remembrance of Christ. The night he was betrayed, he took bread and broke it. He said, do this in remembrance of me. The bread represents his body. And later on, he did take the cup and said, do this, drink this in remembrance of me. And, you know, the cup at the time, whether it's grape juice, whether it's wine, it's the remembrance of the blood shed for all of us, for our sins. It's a very serious thing. And you know, that song really set the tone, but the beauty of it is there is more to the story, you know, as he rose. But as I was preparing for communion, one of my, you know, hopefully we all have like a prayer closet, a secret place where we really, whether it be by the pond or wherever it is, one of my things, I'm always in a truck and I'm always on the road. The one place I'm always with the Lord is, and a lot of stuff happens. I'll just be by myself praying, praising in the truck. And one of the things, I was driving near Gas House Pike the other night. I was really trying to think, you know, and really try not to think too much, really. It's, Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, we got our little ideas and plans, but he really put on my heart the salt of the earth. I'm going to read a couple passages. It's from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. You know, it's, a lot of us know it. And I love how Tony, you know, the pastor of the church, really puts it all the time. It's not just information, but transformation. We can know it, all of it. But if we're not applying it and it's not transforming our lives, it's worthless. It is worthless. You could know the whole scripture, but if you don't have a relationship with Christ as Lord and Savior, it's worthless. And Christ made that very clear many times. And I just, you know, I was there in the truck riding, and actually I was driving, I hope. Jesus, take the wheel, amen. But I'll read a couple of scriptures, and it really was put on my heart, especially during this time of the year, because a lot of us are with friends or family, and like John said, it's such a beauty, you know, and, you know, family, friends, church families, and it really is a beautiful thing, because really, I know what it's like to be in places that I don't want to be against my will, by choices I made to have instant gratification. Instant gratification has long-lasting effects. So, you know, I was even in Target yesterday, cruising slowly, and the person I was with, like, oh, there's people behind us. I'm like, no, I'm shopping, all right? I'm cruising because I'm not in an institution today by God's grace. I changed my life because of him. I surrendered my life to him, and he changed my life. So if I can enjoy these times with friends and family, Christ changed me in the way I live today. And it was just really put on my heart to Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And it just, the more and more this morning, I was walking in the truck, and it was just, it really is so important, especially during this holiday season. So many eyes are on us, right? So many eyes. How can we be the salt and seasoned for Christ, to show somebody Christ? We have communion. I'll be honest, when we do it every week, sometimes I almost take it for granted. And that's just me up here being honest, because it becomes a routine, right? But what beauty could it be that we can show and be the salt, be the light, and bring others to commune with Christ? Words are nice, but let our actions speak louder. May they see your good deeds and glorify Abba, our Father in heaven. We know what it's like to be with Christ. I forget about it a lot sometimes because it's a walking, beautiful journey. Yeah, there's trials and tribulations, but it's when I get with somebody who hasn't accepted Christ and doesn't have peace or understanding that I'm reminded what amazing grace God gave me to let him in. And all I had to do was surrender. Now let us pray over this and do this in remembrance of what he did for us. Father God, we thank you and praise you for what you did, for the pain you took upon you, upon yourself, that a lot of times, I'm sure many of us think we should have taken upon ourselves, but you took it upon you, that we may commune with you now and one day forever in heaven, Lord. As we take this bread, Lord, may we do this with purified hearts in you. Jesus' name. Father God, we also take this cup and just lift it to the glory and praise of what you are, Lord. Who you are, what you've done, what you continue to do, and what you will do, Lord. We thank you and praise you. May we never forget the blood that was shed for the ultimate sacrifice that we may commune with you, Lord. We thank you and praise you, Lord. Jesus.
Thank you, Jack.
Well, Jack, you mentioned a couple Christmas movies that are your favorite, and it made me think about my favorite Christmas movie. Anybody want to guess?
Yeah.
And y'all don't know how to act, do you? This is... Goodness. Well, it's the Grinch. That is. In fact, tomorrow when we have family come over our house, Joanna will be wearing her sweatshirt that says Mrs. Claus, but married to the Grinch. And I've always liked the Grinch, even as a kid. It was one of my favorites growing up. Now, Jack, the movies you mentioned are also classics, and Home Alone and all these other ones. But The Grinch always resonated with me. You know, I can appreciate a man who has a small heart and wants to do his own thing. You know, I feel like that was me for a long time. Hence the sweatshirt that my wife's going to be wearing tomorrow. But I'm a recovering Grinch. You know, one of the beautiful things about when you start to not only just believe in God, but walk with him in faith. I don't know about you, but I tend to sort of see things through a biblical lens, especially things that I used to look at before. So now I look at the Grinch, and as silly as a movie as it is, I sort of see the gospel in it. You know, this guy who, and it's always, as Jack mentioned in the other movies, it's always a kid. It changes the heart. It's amazing, you know. And you read through Scripture how Jesus thought of children, and you know, it's just amazing that this little hoo girl with her crazy hairdo infects the heart of the Grinch to grow, and then all of a sudden, he's slicing up roast beast with the rest of them. And yep, not vegan mac and cheese. I want you that to be noted. It is roast beast that he slices up. So let me pray. We're going to get right to work. You know, and I just want to say again, I am just beyond grateful to share this Christmas season with my church family. You guys have made this Grinch really enable me to change my life over the years. And I'm so grateful to be in a position where I can serve and my family can serve this congregation, especially in a season like this. So let me pray, and we will get right to work. Father God, we come to you, creator of the universe, Lord. We just come to the foot of the cross this morning. Lord, we lay it all here. Father, we lay our understanding, we lay our wills, we lay our desires. at your feet, Lord. Father, do with us what you will. Father, allow us to surrender to your message, to surrender to your peace and your joy. Lord, that you would take residence within us and transform us from the inside out. Father, we don't want to be those who dress up and play church. Lord, we want to be transformed by the work of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we are in desperate need of your saving and sanctification always. Lord, help us never to forget that. In a season like this, help that to be even more so on the forefront of our minds, that through your love, through your grace and your mercy, you sent your son Jesus to clothe himself with flesh and willingly go to the cross for our salvation. Father, we can't say enough thank yous and praises that are sufficient to your gift. But Lord, we offer them here now. Lord, we love you. We are in desperate need of you. Allow your name to be lifted high. Speak to us now. Speak through me. Speak to our hearts, our minds, and our situations, that we would walk out of here not just hearing your word, but being doers of it. It's in Jesus' name we said, amen. So in Ephesians 5, chapter 5, Paul's laying out some imperatives, some commands on how the church and the family life is to be played out in the life of those that follow Jesus Christ. And he says this really amazing imperative command in the middle of chapter 5, specifically to husbands. And he says this thing that husbands are commanded to love their wives as Christ did the church and gave himself up for her. And I just want to say from the onset that I try my best with the help and work of the Holy Spirit to really live that command out. You know, I work really hard. I'm always praying, and God's trying to be corrected and rebuked and put in the right lane when it comes to loving my wife in comparison to the love that which Jesus loved his church and gave himself up for her. I'm trying to do that within the context of my marriage. I'm trying to do that within the context of my family. I'm trying to apply that sort of love as I servant lead in different situations, like within the church. And I think there was maybe no greater example of me trying to do this than some years before Joanne and I had kids. But we didn't quite have a Christmas tradition, but what we had was the beginnings of maybe what would have been a tradition. And as commanded in the scripture, I was trying my best to love my wife the way Christ did and gave myself up. So what we would do every year around this time is, and in light of that imperative command as a husband, I would lay down my life and watch a Hallmark movie with Joanna. I would give of myself completely. I would empty myself. I'd completely empty myself, lay myself at the feet of my wife, giving fully of all of my will and desire. And I would sit and watch one of those Hallmark movies. Now, it's been years. We've had kids, and really, we don't do TV much. And if we do, it's music or a kids thing. And so, you know, I'm sure there's some characters and situations that have changed a little bit within a Hallmark movie, but the plot does never change. Okay, the plot is the same every single year. Okay, and so for me, this was tough, man. Like, I'm going to be honest, this is why I started with this. I'm trying to walk this thing out spiritually. It's a spiritual thing going on within inside me when I'm sitting down watching that Hallmark movie. I'm fighting demons. I'm trying to tell you, this is when you talk about spiritual warfare, sit me in front of a Hallmark movie and I'm trying to be the husband God's commanded me to be. Now, the thing is, it's so predictable that I come off very cynical because I already know what's going to happen. You know, you got the rich city girl who's in this relationship and, you know, it's on the rocks. And then she, for Christmas, goes home to the small town of Thurmont, Maryland, or Frederick, Maryland. And, you know, she meets John Barrett with his long flowing hair, you know, and his muscles and his old truck. And he's chopping wood for the local nonprofit. And he's kissing babies and
and he's taking care of the orphans in the town, and he's just the perfect guy. And they remember each other from school, and they have this thing, and then she has to come to this great conclusion of, do I go back to this city life that I think I'm supposed to be living, or do I do what I know my heart's telling me, and I fall in love with John Barrett, and I give myself. John, sorry, you just remind me of a Hallmark movie. It's the hair. It's the hair, John. It's the hair. And so I come off so cynical in these movies because I'm just like, Lord, help me in this. I can't take this anymore. It's just so predictable. I can't even bear to watch it. But I give my life for my wife, you know, as the way Christ commands. Now, I would argue that almost the exact opposite thing takes place within Joanna as she watches a Hallmark movie. You know, she gets so locked in. It's incredible. I can ask her anything. I can say something. I can do something. She doesn't hear a word I say. Now take the movie off and I can say something I don't want her to hear. And I can be on the other floor of our house. And guess what? She's going to hear it. No doubt about that. But you put a Hallmark movie in front of her. That's it. Game over. Now, I would argue that the reason that she finds these so appealing and so meaningful to her is because of the fact that they're so predictable. She knows what to expect. So in my mind, I just want to make fun of it and be cynical about it. And I can't really stand them. I love you guys. I love my wife. I hate Hallmark movies. But she finds them so comforting. She finds them hopeful. You know, she finds a sort of rest in knowing the predictability of the outcome of what's to come. You know, she knows the very same thing because I'm making fun of it the whole time unless I can try to control myself. So we already know what's coming, but she loves it. She finds hope in it. Now, as silly as an example as that is, I think these thoughts can translate into the way most of us go about the Christmas season, because there's some of us within the predictability of the season, we can come off sort of cynical or sort of go as procedure. You know, we know what's to come. We know the outline. We've got our directions. We know who's coming over when. We know what we got to do. And so it becomes just a matter of procedure, the way we walk this thing out. You know, it becomes more of a commercial thing, more of a corporate thing than something that's actually meaningful. You know, and if that's you, let me just say, that's often me sometimes too. You know, I can get caught up in it, and it really, full disclosure, it tends to frustrate me because there's part of the goodness of, you know, some of these traditions. You know, I love giving a gift to my kids. I love the provision God's given me to be able to do that, my family to be able to do that. I love having family over. We love all these things. I love slicing up the roast beast with my heart grown three more times bigger. You know, I appreciate all those things, but sometimes I get caught up in the commercial and predictability of the season. I say, Lord, is this really the way it's supposed to be? You know, and I think there's even some of us that find this season a real challenge, not necessarily for the predictability of what's to come or being cynical about the season as it relates to sort of the corporate aspect of it. But some of us, this is just a difficult season. You know, it's a season where as we walk out those doors, and even sometimes when we walk in them, we're putting on something. We're putting on a suit. We're putting on a mask. We're putting on what we think people need to see. You know, and we're not being real. I think this season can sort of ignite that within us, because we see some of these movies that we joke about, and we see some of the things on social media, and we see what other people are putting out and what they want you to see. And we fall into the devilish game of comparison. And we say, you know, this is great. I'm blessed, but I don't have what they have. You know, we have a nice home and we got people coming over, but our house isn't nearly as together as it should be. You know, and my kids are blessed, all this, but look at what they have going on. Look, they got a 12-foot Christmas tree. We can only get a 6. You know, and we fall into this comparison game. And you know, that can produce within us a feeling of unfulfillment and anxiety even.
it can begin to build resentment within us when we play this comparison game, and we feel like we have to measure up or be something that we're not. But I think too, sometimes this season just brings about just triggers in general. Maybe some of us have lost loved ones during this time, or are gone through a terrible diagnosis or a challenging thing. I know, speaking from someone in recovery, we have what's called identifying your cycle. You know, when is it most within the year where you tend to go off the hook? And for me, it was always around Christmas time. My arrest record would attest to that. December and January, baby. That's, you know where to find me. Okay, in my old life, get your bail money ready. We all have triggers sometimes during this season. We might fall into that, you know. And it's challenging when you're going through a season where everything outside of you says, "Be joyful, be happy, be content." You're supposed to have close friends and family. You're supposed to be giving. You're supposed to be receiving. You're all these things that are supposed to. And maybe you're alone. What about the person that's alone? What about the person that's fighting hard for their life right now? What about the person that really doesn't have any family, doesn't have any friends to go, has nowhere to go for Christmas? And one of the beautiful things I've noticed about this community in Frederick, and Don attested to it, places like the Mission and other elsewhere, you know, as a community, Frederick does a pretty good job of meeting those physical needs. You know, if your kid doesn't have a present, you can get one in Frederick. If you have nowhere to eat a Christmas meal, there will be a place provided for you if you're willing to go. But those are all physical things. You know, we tend during this season to focus on what's temporal and physical in front of us, because that's really what this season in a commercial sense seems to all be about. What can we give? What can we get? How can we look? How are we supposed to look? How are we supposed to feel? Now, as important as those things can be to a kid's life or tradition or your family relationships, in the grand scheme of the true joy and reason for this season, it means absolutely nothing. There's only but one hope. And although we celebrate it during this Christmas time, we don't know when Christ was born, but man, every day is a good day to celebrate Jesus' birth. Amen. And to celebrate the true light and the true life coming into the world to save us. Because that's really what we need at the end of the day. That's what this season is all about. That's what Christmas is really all about. That's what Jesus' incarnation is all about. Redemption and salvation and hope. And maybe those aren't the top three things that we're thinking about on Christmas Eve. Maybe we're thinking about cookies and movies and what we don't have and why do I not feel the way I should be feeling? But we find all of our hope rooted in the Savior. And John puts it this way. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Now, any diligent reader of the Gospel of John will know that just a few verses later in 14, he says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So we know that this Word that the Apostle John, the beloved disciple of Jesus, who he's talking about is the one and only Son of God, Jesus Christ. And this for me is one of the most powerful incarnation Christmas stories of all time, the way John puts it. Because John lays out Jesus like this. He describes Jesus as the eternally existing self-revelation of God. That's what he means when he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He describes him as an instrument of creation. He says, "Through him, all things were made, and without him, nothing that was made that has been made. He's the instrument through which the Father created all things. And not only that, the Word, Jesus Christ, is the giver. He's the sustainer. He's the producer of all light and all life. And to that, I mean, we've got nothing to say but amen. He is. He describes it this way in verse 9. He says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And why was he coming into the world? He was coming in the world to give light and life. I want to break this down for just a moment. When we think of Jesus as the Word, it's a very interesting way that the beloved disciple John describes the Lord and Savior. The Greek word there is logos. Now, in a Greek mindset, logos refers to the realm of philosophy. There was a Greek philosopher, Philo, and what he decided was that logos is the way in which the cosmos are given their significance. It's a philosophical way to describe how things came to be, the logic within, and the reason within for all creation. That's how a philosopher would think of the word logos, the word that we have described here as Jesus. However, in a Jewish mindset, it would mean something even more deeper. The God subscribed to the description of the word would mean that God's word has this dynamic force to do his will. In a Jewish mindset, that's what the logos meant, that God has this dynamic force in order to do his will. We see this played out in the comparison to Genesis. You know, there's a lot of comparison the way John begins his gospel, the way the Bible starts in the book of Genesis. They both start in the beginning, which was when? In the beginning. Yep, that's right. And so in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Therefore, Jesus was eternally self-existent, as John describes it. And what do we see God doing in the beginning in Genesis? We see him creating. We see him dealing with light and life, taking that which was void and had no shape and giving it shape, giving it light, breathing life and light into it. How did he do that? He did it through his word. He did it through his word. It was God's word that was speaking and causing all creation to be. Say, and God said, let there be light. And then there was light. God's word was the way in which everything came to be. It was the way in which everything took its shape, took its form, had its purpose. That's the sort of logos that John's assigning to Jesus Christ. He's saying this is the same logos, this man, Jesus Christ, that we all bear witness to, that he's the force in which life is shaped. He's the sustainer of life. When you look at Jesus, you see the true light. You see the way that everything makes sense in this world is through Jesus Christ, both physically and spiritually. He's the giver of that life. Through him, all things were made that were made. There was nothing made without going through Jesus Christ. In Genesis, God was using his word to create, to give life to creation. John describes the word as giving life for the purpose of redemption. And that's what we get to celebrate today. And the truth of the matter is, for many, that's not the first thing that comes to our mind this season. You know, when we think of the light and we sing Joy to the World and we sing all these songs, we often don't think of the life-giving force of Jesus Christ. We think of the beautiful nativity sets, and we think of shout out to Home Goods for putting the reason for the season on everything, and we hang it all around our house, and we think of how we're supposed to feel and what things are supposed to be like. But John is saying this is the reality. The reality is God, through his word, through Jesus Christ, has always eternally existed. And he made a decision to condescend himself, to empty himself, as Paul puts in Philippians, and put on flesh to become one of us, to become like us, so that he could atone for our sin. That's what this season is all about. And why would he have to atone for our sin? Because we can't give life ourselves. We ourselves can't be a light unless the light of Jesus Christ is shining through us. And that's what this is all about. And sort of sadly, in verses 10, John lays out that he was in the world, Jesus, and through him, the world was made, and the world did not recognize him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I'm Jesus. I'm the sustainer. I'm the instrument in which all creation was made by the Father through me. And I'm coming to my creation, my physical earth, my physical creation, and my people, those in which life was breathed into. And they reject me, the very maker of them and everything. And they're rejected. And what he's talking about is the Jewish people and people as a whole, that all men have fallen short. We have all rejected God until we come to Christ. I find it interesting that John lays this out because it's the people that were in the best possible position to receive him that rejected him. And you apply that to our Christmas season. Apply that to our Christmas season. And think of our communities and our families and the world as a whole. There's no other time. Say what you want about the Christmas tradition and give or take the tree and the gifts and everything and keep the Grinch. That's a good movie. But say what you want about any of those things. But there's an opportunity within this season where the world and our communities, our families as a whole that otherwise would never give Jesus a thought, are positioned in the best way possible to receive him. And you might be the only light. You might be the only way they see a life in Jesus this season. So now with that, where do our priorities stand? How do we walk out of here different than the way we came in? We pray about it and talk about it all the time. How do we do that? How do we walk that out in our lives? Well, it begins with where our priority is. You know, what we love most is what's going to take up root and foundation in our house, in our lives. If we love Jesus and we know that he's the beginning of all things, he's eternally existing, self-revelation of God, the instrument through which creation was made, he's the giver of life and light. We can sing praises to him. We can sing all the Christmas songs we want. But if you don't do anything about it, then we are wasting a complete opportunity for ourselves and those around us. We can't just have praises and curses coming out of the same mouth. We got to be transformed this Christmas season. We got to be different this Christmas season. We have an opportunity where people are in the best possible position. And maybe those people are yourself sitting right now. Maybe I need a little refill right now. Maybe I need to be hearing this, not just to take it home to my family or friends that have mine. Maybe I need to be hearing this for myself right now. I know I do sometimes. I need a refill, Lord. Fill me up. I'm in a position right now to hear this the best. That, Lord, I need you. And use me to be a light to your people. And he says it like this. He says, although he came to the world and there were those that were in the best possible position to lay hold of him, to receive him, they didn't. They rejected him. Yet in verse 12, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. There's no greater thing that you can become or gift you can receive than the adoption as sons and daughters into the kingdom of God. Yeah, is that how we're walking this Christmas season? Is that how we are when we're passing out gifts and doing things and being in the community? Or are we recognizing the least in our kingdom? Maybe there's some that are really struggling in here today, you know, and we need to be there for our brothers and sisters. They've received that designation as adopted sons and daughters just like we have. It can't be all about what we're doing and passing out and all this stuff. Are we listening to people? Are we there for people? Are we being life-giving spirits through Jesus Christ, through the work of the Spirit this holiday season? Would you stand with me as I close in prayer? If there's anyone who has any sort of response to this message, I will be in the back. I'm happy to talk with you, pray with you, and be with you. Father God, we come to you one more time, Lord, and we are absolutely thankful, Lord. We are in awe of you and your gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, we know that in this season we have so many different thoughts and people in different positions. Lord, help us to just be sensitive, Lord. Help us to be sensitive, not to what we think we have to do or accomplish or be, but be sensitive to your speaking to our heart. What it is you want us to do, your will this season, that we would be loving and joyful and patient and peaceful and walk with people and listen with people. Lord, that we would be different this Christmas season, that we'd be transformed, Lord, that your light might shine through us. Father, we thank you ultimately for this season, for this day. We should thank you every single day for the gift of life that comes through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, it's in his holy, matchless name we all said, Amen.